This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Matt, the MLB trade deadline was on Monday, but the biggest splash of that deadline, of course, took place over the weekend. Got a lot of people fired up. The Dodgers making the big move, and they go and get Tarik Skubal, the two-time AL Cy Young winner, and he will make his Dodgers debut on Tuesday against the Chicago Cubs. The ball on Monday night was flying out of Wrigley Field. Will we see it get calmed down a little bit more with Skubal making his Dodgers debut?
There'll be a lot of hype around this game with Skubal starting for the Dodgers, who need a win. They got swept by the Red Sox over the weekend. Their pitching staff got bombed at Wrigley Field on Monday night. Skubal, a pretty big favorite in this game. Circa minus 200. I see Kalshi minus 186. So you basically about $2 here you got to lay if you're going to bet the Dodgers. The Cubs are a hot team, though. And Tim, a pitcher like Skubal, get a little bit overhyped for a first start for a team like this. And I would not be laying the price. Dodgers not playing great baseball right now. But if you look at the big picture, I certainly can understand why the Dodgers are plus 150 to win the World Series. We talked with Johnny Avello of DraftKings about this. I can't recall ever seeing a shorter favorite at this point in the baseball season with 2 months to go, plus 150 to win the World Series. But it's deserved. When you look at the Dodgers and that starting rotation with Skubal, Otani, Yamamoto, Blake Snell when he comes back, right? Yep. And is back in form. And Tyler Glasnow. And then you move Sasaki to the bullpen. Dodgers certainly, I think, warrant being plus 150 short favorites to win the World Series.
Chicago Cubs, though, they have been hot. They were very busy at the deadline, making a handful of moves. Also went out, got a starting pitcher, not of the caliber of a Tarik Skubal, but got Kevin Gausman from the Toronto Blue Jays. How about this from over the weekend, Matt? It's the first time in MLB history a player who won the MVP of the previous two seasons, Shohei Ohtani, and a player who won the Cy Young each of the previous two seasons will play together on the same team. Hard to believe, but that is what we have and what we will witness on Tuesday night as Tarik Skubal makes his Dodgers debut. He had some interesting comments. I'll read those for you in a moment. But first, let's hear from Dave Roberts. He was asked about acquiring Tarik Skubal and some of the pushback around the league as the Dodgers went out and made the blockbuster deal on Saturday.
It just seems like there's always blowback with us. People are passionate. We feel good about it. There's nothing that we did that no one else couldn't have done. I just laud our front office. We have to have the players to be able to pull something like this off. And, you know, we still got, you know, arguably one of the top two or three or one or two or three farm systems in baseball, you know, a day later. So it's a credit to a lot of people in this organization.
Skubal then doubled down, Matt, on that. Said, quote, every team could trade for me. I don't sympathize with the people that blame the Dodgers for anything they've done. It's a winning organization. I really don't sympathize with people that are complaining because the Dodgers do all the right things. Mm-hmm. Not wrong. I know it didn't sit well with a lot of people, but not wrong, Matt, with what we've seen from that deal. And it makes you scratch your head. And, you know, you could talk about the conspiracy theories with the lockout potentially coming next year. Why would the Tigers make a deal for Skubal on Saturday as opposed to Monday when it wasn't a blockbuster deal? Let's say the one that the Orioles got for Adley Rutschman when they shipped him up to Boston.
I really thought the Tigers would get more in return for Skubal, and the deal they got with the Dodgers was a good one, but not a great one. And that's not a deal that had to be made on Saturday, was it?
No.
So, you know, I do think there's a lot to the theory that the other owners in MLB wanted to see Skubal go to the Dodgers so they could say, this is a reason, this is Exhibit A, why we need a salary cap in this sport. You know what's interesting about this argument, Tim? Since 2000, baseball has had 16 different World Series champions. That's more different champions than the other capped pro leagues. So if you say there's no parity in baseball, you're wrong. It's not just top heavy. Well, it is right now with the Dodgers, obviously, and I think a lot of people are annoyed by the way the Dodgers are spending and deferring contracts and things like that. But baseball has not had a competitive advantage problem, I would say, over the past 25 years or so. Right? The Yankees haven't won a World Series in 17 years. The Dodgers actually went from 1988 until 2020 without winning a World Series. But the bigger issue here is that there is going to be a major push for a salary cap. It's going to happen, and there's probably going to be, I'm going to say, a significant delay to the 2027 baseball season. I think we're going to see, if I had to guess right now, I would predict them we're going to have a 100-game season next year.
Yeah, it doesn't seem promising that we will have baseball on opening day in mid to late March whenever they announce that that deal or that season will start. But we do have a season now. And
opening day could be in May or June, right?
Certainly possible. Yeah. But one team that has been a very big surprise this year, the Chicago White Sox, taking on a team that was disappointing at start, but has since turned things around, the Boston Red Sox. And they start a series up on Tuesday, Matt, in Boston. The Red Sox now 60-51, and the White Sox 59-52. Still waiting on the pitching announcement for this one, Matt, but the Red Sox, a slight home favorite. Both these teams, two of the hotter teams in baseball.
How about the Red Sox? Talk about red hot. You said 60-51?
60-51.
On July 1st, the Red Sox were 37-48. That means they are 23-3 since then. 23-3 is what the Red Sox have been on since July 3rd when they beat the Angels 5-2 in Anaheim to sweep that series and start a big win streak. I believe that was a 9-game win streak before the All-Star break. Tough to bet against this Red Sox team right now. White Sox, you could say a white-hot type of team. As well, we don't have a pitching matchup announced for this game tomorrow. I believe the Red Sox starter is undecided at the moment, right?
I believe that is the case. The Red Sox, to your point, 28-5 since June 25th, the best 33-game span in franchise history. This is only the second Red Sox team to go 15-1 over a span of 16 road games. Red Sox.
You know what's crazy about this? 28-5. They lost two home games to the Nationals.
Woo! We got that going for
That's
us.
Your team.
Yeah, go Nationals. Yeah.
23-3 since those two losses to the Nationals since July 3rd. Now, I'm not going to bet against the Red Sox in this spot. Just swept the Dodgers in L.A. and definitely a bet on team right now.
No doubt about it. And a handful of other series get underway. Tomorrow we will see the Yankees and Cardinals after that slugfest at Yankee Stadium return to the Bronx on Tuesday night as well. The Brewers and the Pirates continue their series. Jesus Luzardo will start for the Philadelphia Phillies after their comeback. They trailed 3-0 going into the bottom of the seventh, came back, beat the Nationals on Monday night, the Phillies at around -245 favorites. Matt, before you know it, we will have a football game. Yes, it's a preseason game, yeah. But on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, the Carolina Panthers, starting Kenny Pickett, will be taking on the Arizona Cardinals in Canton, the Hall of Fame game. The Carolina Panthers, Matt, a 1.5-point favorite, depending on where you look. Circa has it at 1. DraftKings FanDuel have it at 1.5 in favor of the Carolina Hurricanes. Total 35.5. Live football, before we know it, Matt, on Thursday night.
Did you just say Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah, I did say Carolina Hurricanes. Okay. Carolina Panthers.
Time for football season, Tim. Carolina Panthers. And Arizona Cardinals, and this is kind of a dull matchup for the Hall of Fame game, but it's football. People are going to bet it, and I would predict that sharper money, if you want to call it that, is probably going to come in under the total. Right now, DraftKings 36.5 is the total. Panthers 1.5-point favorites. Probably going to be a dull offensive game, but I have not done a lot of research on this yet. I'll work on that tonight and tomorrow, see if I can come up with a play on this game, but it's football. There's going to be betting action on this Thursday night. You can guarantee that.
I think I had Hurricanes on the mind because the Miami Hurricanes extended Mario Cristobal on Monday night. It was reported by our own Brett McMurphy. I like to call him our own because that is kind of an inside joke. He was once upon called that of On Three Brett McMurphy. He's going to be in studio, by the way, Tuesday night with us at 7:30 Eastern. Always love talking to the stash, Brett McMurphy. He will join us in studio. And Matt, lots of best bets for college football in our brand new college football betting guide. It is out right now. The wait is over. We're less than 4 weeks away from the start of the college football season. Sign up for VSiN Pro today, and you get instant access to our college football betting guide. It features previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50 that you and Paul Stone worked on together, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from all VSiN hosts. Plus, if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you also get our NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. Matt, CJ Carr, first Notre Dame quarterback to be a preseason favorite to win the Heisman since Brady Quinn in 2006. The hype is high in South Bend.
Preseason hype's one thing. You want to be there in the postseason. I had Notre Dame power rated the number two or number three team at the end of last season. I've got Notre Dame power rated number one this season.
Will the Irish be playing in Las Vegas in late January, trying to win their first title since 1988?
VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Newman's, I'm Tim Murray, and whoa! You remember when Luis Garcia hit that home run? And
I do. I also remember what the price was because the Yankees took a one-run lead, and I was about to say, bad things happen when Aaron Boone goes to the bullpen, and the Yankees were minus 630 with a one-run lead. They are now down 13-7. Bad things happen when Boone goes to the bullpen. And, yeah, the Yankees didn't need to make any big moves at the trade deadline with the pitching staff. Now they're going to be fine.
Matt, Alec Burleson might not want to forget this night ever.
He'll never forget it.
Three home runs for Alec Burleson tonight as he was one of three Cardinals to go yard in the top of the eighth inning. It has been quite the inning. Nathan Church got it going with a three-run homer. Then, two batters later, it was Jimmy Crooks with a two-run homer, and then Alec Burleson with another two-run homer. He's got three two-run bombs. Tonight, it is 13-7 in this eighth inning, Matt. A touchdown. We were just talking football. A touchdown has been scored by the Cardinals.
Yes, I think a relatively sharp outfit today played this Cardinals-Yankees game under the total. They're probably going to sweep that one under the rug.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. So.
This one, you win some, you lose some. And I think that's going to be a strong L, 13-7 now. 20 runs have been scored. Can the Brewers mount the comeback here in the bottom of the ninth inning? They trail 4-3. Had a couple of opportunities. They trailed 4-0 in this game once upon a time. Bottom of the ninth inning here, one out, Joey Ortiz at the plate, and we will see if they can start a comeback in Milwaukee.
Tell you what, if these scores hold up, Brewers' lead in the division is going to be down to 5.5 games, and the Cubs are playing with a lot of confidence right now, and they made some good moves.
They did. They were very busy at the deadline, maybe in some people's eyes, maybe too aggressive, but regardless, they went out and got a couple of big pieces that they think will help them. And their lineup has been on fire tonight. 10 runs tonight for the Chicago Cubs. Carson Kelly with a two-run homer. Seiya Suzuki with a two-run homer. Michael Bush with a solo homer. The biggest homer of the night, at least distance-wise, was from Teoscar Hernandez. But that was just a solo shot in the top of the sixth inning. Mm-hmm. And right now, 10-5 is the score. Cubs with the lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Pretty wild night of baseball here for our first night back in the studio together for the first time in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. So,
you're going to be part of Bet Bash this week.
I am, yeah. Brett McMurphy and I will be doing a seminar on college football on Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific here at Bet Bash. I believe this is, the fourth year Spanky has been putting on this? Third or fourth year?
Might be more.
Maybe five. I don't know.
Four or five.
This is actually going to be my third year part of it. So, me and Brett McMurphy. So that's why Brett's going to stop by the studio tomorrow night. So looking forward to talking to Brett. And we just talked about it briefly, Matt, in the last segment with Mario Cristobal inking an extension at Miami, which shouldn't come as a big surprise coming off of their run to the national championship. You know, looking at the odds right now, the only conference that has an odds-on favorite is the ACC, and that would be Miami. And they have never won the conference championship. And I was looking through predictions, and that's what I was going to get to. I was looking through the predictions. I picked Miami. I have not bet Miami to win the ACC, but part of what we do in the college football guide is we all pick conference champions. So I picked Miami.
We have a poll where we have about 20 handicappers in the poll. How many?
A lot of VSiN hosts, some handicappers as well. And
how many picked Miami? Did you total?
Let me double check it right now.
I did not pick Miami.
Well, that's what jumped out to me. It doesn't surprise me that you were being a little bit contrarian. So looking at it here, Adam Burke went with Clemson. These are the people who didn't go with Miami. Adam Burke went Clemson. The two gentlemen from the Sports Gambling Podcast, and shout out to Ryan and Sean coming back for another year here on the network. Excited for them to be on Friday nights.
Why would they not?
Sean Green, SMU.
Okay.
Ryan Kramer, I'll give you one guess on who he picked. Virginia Tech.
E-Tech.
Patrick Maher went SMU. Scott Seidenberg went SMU, but you were the lone going with Jeff Brohm and the Louisville Cardinals. Why did you take Louisville to win the ACC?
I like a lot of things about Jeff Brohm. I like the schedule, too. When you look at Louisville, I think it sets up well. I expect the Hurricanes to get upset in a spot or two. You know, things never play out exactly the way you think they will on paper. And I like the way Jeff Brohm's team's shaping up here, offensively, defensively. He's got a quarterback transfer from Ohio State he can win with. And I decided to go a little bit contrarian in this conference and go with the Louisville Cardinals and Jeff Brohm, who did one hell of a coaching job at Purdue. You look what's happened at Purdue since he's left. That shows you exactly how good this guy is. And by the way, he did lead Louisville to the ACC championship game in his first year.
So my long bomb for the year, you always like to play a long shot in these golf tournaments. I always like to have a long bomb Heisman winner.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, you were on vacation. I was talking about it with Dustin Sweetelson. Here at Circa, Lincoln Kienholz was 110-1 to win the Heisman. I went down and bet him to win the Heisman Trophy. I could look like a complete and utter moron. Wouldn't be the first. Won't be the last. But week one, they play Ole Miss. Week three, they play SMU at home. They don't play Miami, as you pointed out. The schedule is rather favorable.
By the way, last year, Louisville was a 14-point dog at Miami and won the game.
And we've seen long shots before. Last year, Fernando Mendoza, preseason, 55-1 at BetMGM. Travis Hunter, 2 years ago, 50-1. There was a Louisville quarterback, Matt, 10 years ago, preseason, 100-1. To win the Heisman Trophy. A gentleman by the name of Lamar Jackson. So, Lincoln Kienholz, all you've heard about him is how athletic he is. He was right there with Julian saying, you could believe that, you could not believe that. I know he did start in that Cotton Bowl disaster against Missouri. That was an impossible situation. I like Jeff Brohm. I like the schedule. And he might have a couple opportunities, especially week one. All the hype around Trinidad Chambliss. What if he's the better quarterback on that Sunday night down in Nashville, Tennessee?
He could be. Actually, I think Brohm's going to win with Lincoln Kienholz. Is it Kienholz or Kienholz? How do you pronounce
it? I've heard it both ways.
Okay. Former Ohio State transfer.
Lincoln K.
By the way, look at my guide best bets here. And to the final four, I went mostly with chalk. Notre Dame, Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State. I've got Notre Dame, Oregon in the championship game. And the Fighting Irish, for the first time since 1988, winning the whole thing, and that would be right here in Vegas.
I would be here in Vegas on a Monday night, late January, and I would weep like a baby if I was in that stadium.
So if that happens, if that happens, and they're playing on Monday night for the title, will we do the show from the stadium? Will you be at the game, or am I going to be hosting the show here by myself because you're going to the game on that Monday night?
I don't know. We have to talk to the bosses. If Notre Dame is in the national championship, bosses...
We have to be out there at the stadium.
We got to. We got to figure out. We'll figure something out. We've got to be out and about and around the stadium. Man of we'll be one of the people. Even if it's not Notre Dame, I think we should still be there, right? We got to be there. Here were my best bets. Well, these were my predictions. I have bet two of these. I did bet Texas Tech to win the conference at even money. I did bet Georgia to win the SEC at plus 320. We have the same Final Four. Yeah. Notre Dame, Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State. I have Georgia making the title. And I do have Homer pick Notre Dame winning the title for the first time since the Fiesta Bowl of January of 1989, Matt, when Notre Dame beat who?
West Virginia.
34-21.
Who's the quarterback of that Mountaineers team?
Ooh, I don't recall.
I remember what he looks like, and I'm struggling to come up with his name. I thought you would know.
Tony Rice, obviously, was the Notre Dame quarterback. Year three.
West Virginia had a good dual threat quarterback on that team. Who was that guy?
They were number three in the country. I think Miami was number two. They did not get the rematch of the infamous Catholics versus Convicts game that took place October 15th, 1988, with their own Brent Musburger on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Said he still has the T-shirt, Matt, from Catholics versus Convicts somewhere in storage up in Montana.
Major Harris. Dual threat playmaker for the Mountaineers. Fifth in the Heisman Trophy voting that season.
Tell you what, if Notre Dame wins or if Oregon wins, a lot of people predicting Oregon to win the national championship this year. Looking at some of the predictions out there, Femi Abebefe, Stormy, both have Oregon to win it. Wes Reynolds has Oregon to win it. The big Swede, Dustin Swedelson, has Oregon to win it. Four straight years without an SEC team winning the national title. Would be the possibility there.
Things go in cycles. Right now it's the Big Ten's turn. Big Ten's working on a three-peat, and Notre Dame's going to have to stop that. I'd prefer to see Notre Dame stop that, not the SEC.
I second that.
I bet you would.
10-5. The Cubbies on top of the Dodgers. It is VSIN primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the eighth inning at Wrigley Field. 10-5, the Cubs with a lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Feels like a long time ago, Matt, that the Los Angeles Dodgers jumped out to a 3-0 lead. But that's been a bit of a theme of the night. Comebacks across a handful of these games, as we saw the Phillies overcome a 3-run deficit in the seventh. They won 6-3, thanks in large part to a grand slam that came in the bottom of the seventh inning. Their first grand slam of the season, Derek Hill with that grand slam, and then Bryce Harper hit a 2-run homer in the eighth to add to that lead. And then we saw the Yankees overcome a 6-run deficit to make it 7-6, and then
give up six more.
Gave up seven more.
Seven more. They're down 13-7.
Yeah. You know, we're craving so much football. We saw the Cardinals score a touchdown, miss the extra point. Then the Yankees came back. They scored a touchdown, and the Cardinals surprisingly didn't go for two, though. 13-7 is the score as they head to the bottom of the ninth inning. Cubs sitting in good spot right now, Matt, as they lead once again 10-5. The Milwaukee Brewers tried to come from four runs down, unable to do so, had an opportunity, actually were the betting favorite at the bottom of the eighth inning with Christian Yelich at the plate with two on and one out, but unable to finish that off. The bullpen did their job for the Brewers, but Brandon Sproat did not, as he gave up four runs on five hits early in that game, and the Pirates beat the Brewers 4-3. And as you have mentioned a couple of times, Matt, if this result holds true at Wrigley Field, that lead continues to shorten. down to 5.5 games in the NL Central.
It's going to be a sweat for the Brewers. Mookie Betts at the plate right now for the Dodgers, batting .226. That's one guy who's declined a little bit here the past couple of years. Mookie did pick up his average. I think he got it up in the 240s, but now he's back down to batting .226. He's 0-3 tonight.
Looking at the Cubs schedule, obviously they have this series with the Dodgers that will loom big. They also have a 3-game series at home against the White Sox in the middle of August. And then the last week of September and the first week of September, Matt, they will play 7 games against the Brewers. I will be at one of those games.
Will you?
Yeah. The Labor Day Monday, I will be at Brewers Cubs in Milwaukee the night after Notre Dame Wisconsin there in at Lambeau. So we will see. A lot of big games coming for those two. And is it time, Matt? I know you have a position on the Brewers, but if someone's looking at it right now, I'm looking at divisions at this moment on DraftKings. The live number, the current number for the Cubs to win the division is +450. Is that juicy enough to look at the Chicago Cubs to win this division?
I think it might be. I'm going to take a look at that, and I've been thinking about it the last couple of days, and the fact that the Cubs were aggressive at the trade deadline, and they did more than the Brewers did, makes me think that this is going to be a race to the wire. +450 might be a bet I end up making. Like you said, they still have 7 games.
7 games.
With each other. And
4 of them at Wrigley Field, 3 at
You know what I started to think about this was yesterday when the Miz started as a big favorite in Anaheim and he got beat and the Brewers got shut out. And I started to think, man, this is going to be trouble the last couple months. The Cubs are going to put some pressure on Milwaukee.
Playing good baseball right now. The Chicago Cubs are at this moment. Bats came to life tonight. They lead 10-5, headed to the bottom of the 8th inning. Matt, bats have yet to come to life in San Diego, or actually in Arizona. That's where this game is taking place. Scoreless right now between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Michael King, 3 scoreless innings, 3 strikeouts, and 2 walks. Brandon Pfaadt has thrown 4 scoreless innings, 3 strikeouts, no walks. But I think surprising to some, the San Diego Padres today, Matt, were aggressive at the deadline. 58-54 is the San Diego Padres record. And, you know, it's interesting how maybe one series kind of tips the scale or how you're playing.
Right.
Heading into today, the Padres had won 8 of 9, and it changed their minds, and they were aggressive, and MLB Network took note of it.
The Detroit Tigers have gone on a fire sale, but now I'm wondering where are the other chips? No interest on Kenley Jansen, Finnegan, Gleyber Torres. Well, let's talk about that for a second. The San Diego Padres add a guy that has had a terrific season for the Detroit Tigers. Casey Mize goes into a rotation that features Michael King and Robbie Ray.
Wow.
They have upgraded their starting rotation dramatically today.
Yeah, and they needed that. I mean, was there really any doubt what A.J. Preller and the Padres were going to do? Remember, if you go back, 3 weeks ago, maybe even less than that, we're talking about Adrian Mutohone or Mason Miller, and the Padres may move some people and pivot and rebuild the farm system. No, that's not what they do.
They came close.
That's not what they do, though. Push comes to shove, and their rotation has given them, I think, the 3rd fewest innings in Major League Baseball. They needed to address the rotation. They did it twice over with 2 really good arms.
Tom Verducci there on MLB Network, Matt. Entering today, the San Diego Padres starting pitchers had a combined ERA of 4.66. And they go out and they get Casey Mize, who has a sub-3 ERA, an all-star with the Detroit Tigers. And they also got Robbie Ray, a former Cy Young winner. Now, numbers haven't been as good, but this year they've been pretty solid. 3.08 ERA this year for Robbie Ray in with the San Francisco Giants. So this 8-1 stretch heading into the deadline gave them what we don't like to have on this show. Gave them hope.
Yeah, I think the Padres, definitely the way they played leading up to the deadline, made A.J. Preller probably rethink some things. They did not deal Mason Miller, who they picked up last year at the deadline. And it's surprising the Padres are 58-54 because the perception is they've been underachievers this season. Jake Cronenworth batting .212. Manny Machado up to .209. And this team is still four games over .500 with disappointing starting pitching. How are the Padres four games over .500? Right? The perception's not that. Xander Bogaerts batting .222. How are the Padres 58-54?
Is this a team, Matt, that has gone aggressive or gotten aggressive? They are one game back of the Diamondbacks for the final wild card spot. You can make up one game in one day. So is this a team in the Padres with the aggressive moves? And is Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts, are they and their struggles going to get corrected? Or is this just how the season's going to go? Because if you're trying to buy low, could the San Diego Padres, with these two moves today to help their rotation that has been very underwhelming, and their good chunk of their lineup has been underwhelming too. What's Jackson Merrill hitting?
.239.
Right. I mean, it's
right.
They've got stars.
Fernando
in this
Tatis went 3 months without a home run.
Right.
Right. So it's Padres, amazingly, are not a bad baseball team, four games over, but they got a bunch of guys who are underachieving. So I don't know. I'm still not going to buy on the Padres. I am buying on the Cubs.
Yeah, Cubs right now, let me see if that number still exists after they are about to finish off. DraftKings still sits at plus 450 right now. Haven't looked around at other shops. FanDuel's a little bit shorter at plus 410. But, I mean, especially for you, Matt, you've got a position on the Brewers, and now you can set yourself up with the Cubs at plus 450. No one else is going to win that division. The Pirates, the Reds, and the Cardinals are all toast. So, you know, for you, it's a little bit of a hedge, but the question is, do you fully believe in the Cubs? Do you buy off of that position a little bit more? You're going to profit because you got, what was your preseason price on the Brewers?
What's .275.
All right. So you're going to profit no matter what.
I am going to bet the Cubs at plus 450. It's just how much.
Right. Playing good ball right now. That is for damn sure. And they're going to win tonight against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't want to say with complete certainty because I know there's a loyal listener right now listening out there that would get mad at me if that doesn't come to fruition. But I will give him his credit when credit is due. Dodgers 10-5 deficit right now. But tomorrow night, Tarek Skubal gets the start, Matt, for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, this is going to be a hyped game on Tuesday night at Wrigley Field, and I'm going to guess that that's going to be our game of the night for the second straight night, Dodgers-Cubs.
I think that is a fair guess for that one. 20 runs tonight at Yankee Stadium, Matt. But the Cardinals, they come out on top, 13-7, the final score over the New York Yankees.
Alec Burleson, 3 homers, 6 RBIs tonight for the Cardinals, who had been in sort of an offensive funk, and they busted out of that tonight.
And they made some moves. They traded away a couple of pieces to their division rival. Dustin May is off to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers, in the eyes of many, pretty disappointing about what we saw from them at the deadline. Didn't push those chips into the table. Saw a bunch of teams get very aggressive. Brewers, not one of them. All right, we'll put a bow on the show when we come back on the other side. Once again, that VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wrapping things up here on VSiN Primetime. Matt, if you look over our shoulder right now, you can see the breakdown of the Circa contest. 5,423 entries into Circa Survivor. 1,297 entries into Circa Millions, and 6 so far into Circa Grandissimo. And if you're betting at Circa Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Matt, our game of the night is wrapping up. Two outs, full count, top of the ninth inning, Wrigley Field, fans on their feet, and this game is over. And well done to our buddy Chris Massaro, who has been tracking the traveling teams off of Sunday Night Baseball, and it is now 1-8 since May 24th. So well done by the madman, Chris Massaro, who was on the home dog Chicago Cubs, as was Dustin Sweetelson over at vsin.com/picks. So both were winners tonight. The Cubs 10-5 winner as a short home dog, and you could have got a better price in the bottom of the first inning when they were down 3-0, and they come back and win 10-5.
Tommy Edman hit a three-run shot to get the Dodgers started tonight, but it's another loss. So despite all the hype about the Dodgers and being such short World Series favorites, they have dropped four in a row, just got swept by the Red Sox and lost tonight's opener at Wrigley Field.
So tonight's busy evening of baseball coming to a close. We saw the Phillies come back from three runs down. Bottom of the seventh, they win 6-3. We saw the Brewers knock their deficit down to one run but couldn't come all the way back. Pirates win 4-3. So as Matt has pointed out a couple of times, that lead in the NL Central now down to 5.5 games with this game now completed. And the Cubs at DraftKings have now dropped from 450 to 425. So that number moving a little bit. So we'll see. Look around and see what the best price is for the Chicago Cubs if you want to jump in on Go Cubs Go, as they are waving those W flags right now loud and proud at Wrigley Field. And then just craziness at Yankee Stadium. Yankees were down 6-0. Cam Schlittler gets lit up. Three innings, gives up four runs, walks five, strikes out six. But then the Yankees bats come to life, Matt. They score three runs in the fifth, four in the seventh. Luis Garcia Jr. in his Yankees debut, two-run shot, pimps it. It's now 7-6. And then the Cardinals put up a touchdown on the top of the eighth.
Well, and the Yankees, and here's the key point for the betting show tonight. The Yankees take a 7-6 lead. Their bullpen's shaky, and the live line is Yankees minus 630, and they get blown out from that point forward.
Couple of teams tonight were big, big in-game favorites. The Nats, I saw it minus 1430. They lose, and then, as you mentioned, the Yankees at around minus, 650?
Somewhere what's that?
What was the Yankees in-game, 650, 640?
630.
630.
You're close.
Yeah, it was in the ballpark. All right, before we get out of here, it has been a night where we have been talking a lot about our college football betting guide. It's out. It's awesome. 345 pages. JVT wrote up the SEC and the Mountain West.
He did?
Yeah.
He did the SEC, too?
SEC, too. Zachary Cohen had some Heisman bets that he put out there, as well as his breakdown of the Big 12. Matt, you broke down the Pac-12.
And the top 50.
And the top 50. Yeah. Wes Reynolds broke down the Big 10. And Adam Burke did the American, the ACC, Conference USA, two independents, MAC, and the Sun Belt. And also Steve Mackinnon, Paul Stone helping out. Best bets galore. So before we get out of here, Matt, let's revisit your top 10 teams in collaboration with Paul Stone. And your number one team is from Northwest Indiana, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
You love it, don't you?
I don't know if I do. I'll say this. This is the most excited I've been, and maybe this is not a good thing. It's the most excited I've been about a Notre Dame team since 2006. Now, that was fool's gold. They had no defense. This team is as deep as any team, in my opinion, since the Holtz era. There's not a lot of weaknesses out there. Schedule's manageable, but they got to get it done. But I think the one thing that jumped out to me in the way you wrote it up and has kind of got me a little bit more energized is the way Marcus Freeman has talked about last year. Leave no doubt. That is their mantra. And it does feel like they're going to be on a mission this year. They are minus $8 to make the playoff. If they don't make the playoffs, it's something's gone wildly wrong. So why did you end up having Notre Dame number one entering the year?
Well, if a team like that doesn't make the playoffs, it would be probably because your quarterback got injured.
Sure.
Right?
And that is, I mean, look, a lot of teams outside of Oregon don't really have much depth at the quarterback position. Oregon has Dylan Raiola as their backup. Notre Dame's got a bunch of freshmen as their backup quarterbacks.
It's kind of what we see with Joe Burrow and the Bengals, right? Burrow gets injured and the Bengals go down.
Yep.
So that's one reason a team like that would possibly flop. But I've got Notre Dame 1, Oregon 2, Ohio State 3, Georgia 4, Texas 5. Now, again, when we have Paul Stone on tonight, I talked about the difference in our top four. I've actually got Ohio State 4th. He's got Ohio State 1st. But it's not as big a deal as it might sound because the power ranking, to me, on those top five teams are within 2 points of each other. So it's a very fine line, very thin separation between your top seven, actually. Number 6 is Indiana, number 7, Miami. And then there's a little bit of a gap before you get to 8, LSU, 9, Ole Miss, and 10, Oklahoma. But, Tim, I've got the top seven teams in the power ranking. My ratings on those seven teams are within 3 points.
Wow.
Right? That's not much separation of the top seven.
Now, I've said this a lot during the offseason.
Because what is Notre Dame against Miami in November? A 7-point home favorite?
6 or 7-point favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the market, one shop opened 5.5, another opened 7. They opened 11.5 against BYU on the road. That number has now come down to 10. I think I saw Chris Andrews put up 9 or 9.5 at his game of the year lines over at the South Point. But I've said it all offseason. I'm curious your opinion on this. Outside of those top seven, I think you could kind of rank those however you want. Miami, I think, is on the back end of that top seven, but I think they have the talent, especially at the quarterback position and skill positions, to win a national title this year. Indiana defied a logic, right? Last year, they were, 80-1 preseason, won the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make a case for a team outside of the top seven winning the title this year? I have a hard time doing it.
I've tried to do that, and it's really difficult to come up with one. I mentioned this on the show with JVT and Stormy today. Do you realize last year at this time, Phil Steele had Indiana ranked 20th?
Wow.
And he had Indiana's quarterback position ranked 26th. That was Phil Steele.
I know.
Last year at this time. Now, is there a team like that this year? No, that's very rarely is something like that going to happen in college football. And I really can't find that team right now. The team we don't have in the top 10 that I like a lot is BYU.
Yeah.
But we can't really call BYU a sleeper type of team, can we?
No, they're a top 15, top 18 team. I have questions about their depth. I have questions about their wide receiver position. But LJ Martin's back. Bear Bachmeyer, what type of step does he make? You know, Paul Stone ranked Bear at, 11, I think, in his top 15. And some might think that's high. I don't have him in my top 12. But, I mean, this guy was thrown to the fire last year, Matt, and did quite well. And now he's had a full offseason. I do wonder, and sometimes losing coordinators is overrated, sometimes it's underrated. I do wonder the loss of Jay Hill, their defensive coordinator in Michigan. How big of a loss will that be? We'll find out. But BYU, very good chance they're undefeated going into that October 17th game against Notre Dame in Provo. That's going to be one of the bigger games of the early portion of the season.
By the way, we did have a little bit of college football news today. The USC-Notre Dame rivalry is back on, and the Indiana-Notre Dame rivalry is off, right?
2030-2031, Notre Dame and Indiana. Before Kurt Cignetti became the head coach of Indiana, they had signed a home-and-home deal, and now that series is off. Quickly to social media, Indiana fans were saying, oh, Notre Dame canceling out, and then multiple reports came out quickly saying it was Indiana who ended that deal. So Notre Dame and USC is back. I'm happy it's back, Matt. It's very disappointing that we will not get it for the next 4 years. We should, but there's a coach out there who doesn't like losing to Notre Dame every year and won't be the head coach in 2030. So it's back in 2030. Good to have it back. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We're happy to be back. The college football betting guide is out now. And guess what? You can start your day bright and early with Super Dave and Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the books. For Matt, I'm Tim. Thanks to our production crew. This has been VSiN Primetime.